Before we begin, I would like to explain to some of you listening that much of what Stephen is talking about is geared into images that he has made available to story preservation. If you would like to see those images, you can go to storypreservation.org and click on either our blog or Learning Lab site. Okay, let's begin. I'd like to ask you to start by introducing yourself.
My name is Stephen H. Louis. I was born on March 11, 1925, and I was an only child in the family due to my mother's illness, and she was not supposed to have children. So I am the proverbial accident. And my father was Jewish and my mother was Protestant. And we lived in the city of Berlin at the time I was born. It was considered maybe a problem that my mother was Protestant, but as far as the German government was concerned, if a child had more than 2% Jewish blood, which in my case was 50%, then you're considered a Jewish person and acted accordingly. My father made his living by running a retail tobacco business, and in addition, he was also a wholesaler of pipe tobacco. And that's for the picture of my mother. She was just about 31 years old at the time. I was 6 years old, and this picture was taken out in the apartment where we lived. My mother was 31 years old, probably about between 6 and 9 months before she passed away. And then my father tried to cover me cover himself, and he approached the two brothers my mother had, who of course were Protestant, and he asked him to, could these two families help him to take care of me during the daytime so that he could take care of his business? And the answer came back very straightforward. We can't do it because the boy is Jewish and therefore we don't want to get involved in it. So my father was at a loss to how to take care of me, but then he remembered that he was a child in an orphanage in Berlin, and it was still operating at the time of when I was 7 years old. So he entered me into the orphanage. You lived there basically on a continuing basis, and you were allowed to visit your parents once a week on Sunday, generally between 9 and 5. And if we misbehaved in the orphanage, we were then punished for the day, and we could not visit our parents for that weekend. We went to a public school at first, which was later changed to a Jewish school, which meant that Hitler decided around 1936 or so that it's not wise for non-Jewish students to be in the same classroom as regular Christian students. And so we were all transferred to separate school buildings in the city of Berlin to go to school there, but we had the same classes. We had some religious classes because it was an all-Jewish school. And so it was fairly easy, the transfer, but also what had happened is that as we came out of the school buildings and we had a 45-minute walk to go back to our orphanage building. And we were on many occasions, we were met by a group of Hitler youth in front of our school building, and they organized in two rows of kids who took off in Nazi uniforms, who took off their bucket belts, and then gave us a beach. They actually whipped us through the line with these bucket belts.
Before you were segregated and put into an exclusively Jewish school, and you were still together in the same school with Christian students, Can you explain to us what happened when nurses and doctors were called in and the various tests that they took? What is it that they were doing?
On one of the occasions in a public school, we came in the morning and we were told that all the Jewish kids had to stand in the corner and face the wall. All the other kids sat in a circle, and in came a nurse, a doctor, and a party official. And what the nurse did, as can be seen on the picture, they had the color dots, and with it they could determine the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, and to make sure you fit into the requirements of the Nazi pure organization. So the typical Nazi, blonde hair, you know, and light skin and so on. And then came a doctor who would measure the consistency of your hair, reconsider the color, and with this tool, he measured the distance between your ears, the length of your nose, so all the rest of the features above your shoulders, basically. And then if you could fit in many of the points, you could become a member of the Hitler Youth. And these kids had periodic meetings with the leaders, and the leader, well-trained, he used to ask the kids, what do you talk at home around the dinner table? And kids, as they are, they say, oh, we talked about this, we talked about Hitler and all that. And if there were any indications that they talked about what the government is doing and the parents said, well, I don't approve of that, or no, that shouldn't be done, then the next morning there was a party official at the door and telling the family, you're talking against the government. If you don't stop it, we will remove your food rationing. Food rationing is not food stamps as we know it. But foods were rationed, like butter was rationed. You had a certain amount of butter for the family, and any leftover was used to make grease for the cannons. For instance, coffee was rationed because it had to be imported from Africa. Bananas came from Africa and so on. So the father had a choice of keep his mouth shut or feed his family. And then in that apartment house where my father lived, there was a young boy, not Jewish, and when I came home on Sundays, I had somebody to play with. And suddenly he stopped playing with me, and my father told me he approached the parents, and they were told that same thing would happen with rationing of foods if his boy plays with a Jewish kid.